afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today in the guest co-host chair, he's been here before. We've talked about Queen, we've talked about songs from Texas. He's currently wearing a Josie and the Pussycats t-shirt, which is kind of cool. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome David Ace Gutierrez.
Hello everyone.
How was my pronunciation on the last name?
It's like you're a new man.
During COVID, I did Duolingo.
Was that right?
No.
No Rosetta Stone?
No, I didn't do any of that.
Maybe it was your time in Pennsylvania, which...
Yeah, that's where I learned most of my Spanish, in Pennsylvania. So, David, you drove up here from... where do you live, Santa Cruz?
It feels like it, based on how long it takes to get here.
On a Sunday. It shouldn't take that long on a Sunday.
The COVID crisis is over because everyone is...
Everyone's in their cars again. They're now polluting the air again with their gas-guzzling machines.
I was almost killed four times, no lie, on the way here.
It's dangerous.
By Teslas.
Podcasting is dangerous.
It's all Teslas. It is dangerous. I suffer for you guys,
yeah,
the listeners.
Yeah. We're in the same room together. We're social distanced
by
about...
This is weird, right?
A foot and a half, right?
Is this weird to you?
Like, if I reached out, if I really I could touch you.
We could.
What are you bringing? What's my wife bringing?
Currently no takers.
What do you got?
For this, so this was brought by David.
Okay, this is Pilar.
Wait. Youth refused sweets?
They don't want any of this?
Sweets.
What did David bring? He brought citrus mousse cakes.
Yes, way too classy for our
kids. Yeah, that's pretty classy. I want to know what I did wrong.
Nothing at all.
Well, no, our kid that would eat all these is at the mall.
Exactly, and the other two are extremely...
Are they health people?
They're finicky.
They're like old ladies, actually.
Yeah. They're like old men.
Should I bring those candies that come in the dish and you
exactly.
can't just...
Yeah.
Yes.
The ones that cut your face up?
So what is a mousse cake? This is a citrus mousse cake. These are from Trader Joe's. Did you get these at our local Trader Joe's or did you bring these from...
I made those.
You made these. You iced them.
I did.
I don't know what this is. Should I try it?
Eat them on the air.
I'm going to eat... Yeah, I'm going to eat... Well, it's not crunchy. Okay. Mmm. That's really good.
Oh, you... youth in your house do not appreciate.
I don't know what the problem is.
I don't know.
It's really good. Are you going to have one?
No.
All right.
No thanks. I had to, you know, make a baker's dozen. You sample
citrus mousse cake. Thank you for bringing.
You're welcome. Made from orange moons.
All right. So, how many think I can eat all six before we're
could.
Done? I would get sick if I ate all six.
That's a great show. You haven't had a drinking show. Why don't you have an eating show?
I know. I got the booze back here, though.
What about that?
I got the booze back there.
What about that? How about that for a topic? You do a drinking show with the hardest drinking people in music.
That's good.
Songs by the hardest drinkers.
Who would be there? Waylon Jennings?
Waylon Jennings, Keith Richards.
Yeah, it'd be mostly country people there, right?
Yeah, but, you know, you people in maybe like a rehab show or something?
Tommy Lee?
All Motley Crue
show. Yeah, and All Motley. We've done that. I'm done with them. I'm done with the crew.
Life should be done with them.
So you drove up here. How many miles is it from door to door, your house to my house?
It was 8 miles from when I texted you,
mm-hmm.
and I was at that spot for 20 minutes.
Was there an accident?
No, I don't know, Pat. I don't know. But I know everybody tuned in for traffic talk.
Yeah. Too. Well, that's okay. I didn't come here for traffic talk. All right. So what are we doing today? We're talking about Queen today.
Couple albums.
We're gonna do track by track through the 1975 and 1976 albums, A Night at the Opera and A Day at the Races.
Right.
These deserve track by tracks. We talked about Animal Eyes and Lick It Up. We can certainly talk about two good albums, right?
Yeah, this is part of what I call the Queen hot streak.
What are we gonna where does it go from? It goes from Sheer Heart Attack through
The Game.
Through the Game.
Well, I know you're not a fan of jazz.
I do like it, but it's always off my radar. And then when I hear it, I love it. But right. It's always, I don't know why I don't think of that one as much.
I think, well, it certainly had its share of hits.
Uh-huh.
Probably more than the two albums we're going to talk about, actually.
Yeah.
I think
Mustafa.
Mustafa, everybody loved Mustafa.
Everyone loves that.
7 Days, everybody loves 7 days? No, it was just, I just think between News of the World and The Game, it just doesn't quite hit those,
mm-hmm.
those heights.
Yeah.
But it's definitely better than Queen 1 and Queen 2, I think.
And which one do you like better, Queen 1 or Queen 2?
That's hard because I'm not the biggest fan of those first two. I like them, but I don't. Probably Queen 1 on sheer power of Keep Yourself Alive.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I like Queen 1
Track
better.
Track 1, Song 1, Album 1. Yeah. I mean, can you
can't
think
beat
of,
it. I like Queen 1 better than Queen 2.
And you know what else? Queen 2 is kind of a concept album, and I'm not usually a fan of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to listen to Queen 2 more because people yell at me because I say that I don't like it. Yeah.
How come Freddie gets a pass for that? No one has ever mentioned this in the 50 years of Queen music.
Maybe because, I don't know. I have no idea why he gets a pass on that.
I mean, it's clearly...
it's not in the set list. Adam Lambert doesn't throw it down.
You don't think so?
No. I don't believe he would do that.
He doesn't want to do March of the Black Queen?
No. Yeah, if Queen went out and they did an album show, what album do you think they'd play?
Night at the Opera.
Yeah, the one we're going to talk about.
Probably The Game would be, or The Works would be, no, The Game would probably be the easiest one they could do.
Yeah.
But News of the World.
Yeah.
That's also kind of a basic pre-synths, which these two are. They're proudly no synths.
Proudly no synths.
And then after The Game, it's all synths.
All synths. I can't even say the word synths.
Synths.
We got 22 songs, totaling 1 hour and 28 minutes of music across 28 songs. That's how it used to be.
Yeah, that was Get In, Get Out.
Yeah, we don't need an 80-minute album with 17 tracks. No one wants that.
And they wrote all the songs but one.
They did, because it was it's a traditional arrangement by right. May. It's an right. instrumental, too. Kind of worthless.
How dare you?
We'll talk about it when we get there.
It's their closer in every concert.
That's true. That's because they can get out and not meet the fans. They want to get straight into the, limos. I'm kidding.
Can't do that.
You told me that Roger Taylor might be having a solo album coming out. Is that true?
In the fall, yes.
In the fall.
Two things happening. Brian May supposedly remastering and working on reissuing Back to the Light, which...
That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, his solo stuff really isn't that available digitally.
And there's not much, and there should be way more of it.
He saves it for Queen, I guess, right?
For Queen what? What's he saving it for
now?
Well,
I meant the old days.
Yeah.
Also, I think, well, I have my theory. But anyway, so there's that. And then, Roger Taylor is supposed to come out with a solo album this year.
So maybe I can get one or two of those guys on the show to promote those projects.
I could think of, I'm pretty sure you can get, out of the two, I think your chances of getting
Roger
May would be better than Taylor.
Oh, you think?
I don't find that Taylor does that as much press as Brian May. Brian May is always talking.
Well, I would tell you.
You know what?
If I had a choice, I'd rather talk
Here's
with Brian.
It. Brian has this, he saves badgers, right? That's his.
Okay.
And he's into space.
Yeah. And he also likes those, he releases those 3D books.
Right.
That are $80 that no one buys.
Those are your ins.
All right. And he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Like so himself. Is West Anthony. And I don't have him on.
Is he a real doctor? Is he have a...
He told me he was when we did that physical. So I hope so. He said I was okay.
Do most physicals happen in a white van?
They do at Dr. West Anthony's neck of the woods.
His mobile practice.
His mobile practice. Okay. So here we go. Yeah. Now, you might not agree with where I queued some of these songs up with.
Right.
But you just have to... You can't complain about it.
Okay, we're starting?
Yeah, you can't complain about it.
Right.
So we got 12 tracks on this album. This was like their breakthrough, kind of. Their big
Killer
breakthrough.
Queen was the hit from the previous album.
And that previous album is fantastic.
Right. So, first off, don't believe what you see in Bohemian Rhapsody, where this is like, they treat this like the first song that they've written successfully. They treat Bohemian Rhapsody as the first song that they've written successfully.
True.
No, they had a hit with Killer Queen.
Yeah.
But they were also coming off of problems with...
This is me doing Killer Queen. Okay.
I was about to sing it.
Yeah, not bad.
It was a mistake.
They were coming off of problems with what?
Well, the title, the subject of the first song.
Oh, in this album.
Yeah.
Death on Two Legs, and then in parentheses, dedicated to...
Right.
You want to shed light?
Norman Sheffield.
Okay.
He was the head of Trident Records, and Queen felt like they weren't getting enough. They were broke, essentially, at this point. They needed to get out from under Sheffield's thumb. Sheffield said that they were overspending.
Okay.
There's like apocryphal story maybe about how Roger Taylor wanted new drumsticks, and Sheffield's like, no.
How much were drumsticks in 1975?
50 cents.
I mean, really?
50p.
I mean, come on.
But, you know, but also Queen is known for extravagance, right?
Yes.
And so it's probably somewhere in the middle. Sheffield wrote a counterpart autobiography to this called, I think it's called Life on Two Legs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
He's dead now, right?
Right.
Norman Sheffield.
No, he's alive.
Is he?
At least, I mean, he was a couple years ago when he wrote his book.
It says he died in June 2014.
Okay, maybe his book's older than I thought.
and in 2013, there's a picture of him here. He looks like he's on his last leg. He looks horrible.
Well, he's death on two legs.
Death on two legs.
Yeah. So this album was written. I mean, was produced and made between August and November of 1975.
Okay.
Came out in November of 1975 in the UK, and much like myself. and then in December of 75 in the United States.
And it's a co-production between Roy Thomas Baker and Queen.
One of the final ones.
One of the final ones. All right, so let's kick it off with Death on Two Legs. Here we go. Let me get everything. I kind of forget sometimes how this works because we're in the room.
Kyle.
I got all the balls in the air. I'm juggling, and here we go. Death on Two Legs, people.
Till it hurts.
You've taken all my money,
and you want more.
You've guided on you with your pig-headed crew, with your narrow-minded cronies who are fools of the first division. Step on two legs. You're tearing me apart.
It's a great album opener.
You don't think it took a long time for this song to start?
Well, yeah, because I queued it up way.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to it, it starts with ding, ding, like this weird, it's almost like Flash Gordon's about to start.
Okay, that's true. Let me see, because I queued it a minute in.
Right.
So yeah, there's a minute of some stuff.
There's a couple of really long preambles on this album.
Yeah, you're right. But I love this song.
Right, it's a Freddie, clearly.
Yep.
I know that I think Brian said he was uncomfortable with it at first.
Brian's kind of a puss, right?
That's a great way to get him to do your show.
Well, I'll ask him. I'll leave
hey,
with
Brian,
that.
Are you a puss?
Brian, seems you're a little bit of a puss with your doctorate.
And then famously for Alive Killers, Freddie says who it's for.
Mm-hmm.
A real motherfucker of a gentleman, but yeah. they beep it out.
Yeah, I hope when they remaster and re-release,
they've never done that.
I know. Queen Life Killers, and let's. I'm sure there's more songs that we could get.
There were songs that were cut from there. I think Somebody to Love famously was cut from that set list.
Why aren't they working on that?
I don't know. They've released everything else, and
I know
twice,
yeah.
thrice times.
Queen, there's probably some giant deluxe box set coming out.
They hated the mix.
I like that album.
No, I like the album, but I think Roger Taylor and, was it Freddie? Another one of the members of the band didn't like the way it ultimately.
They could remix it now.
Yeah.
Get it the way they want it to be.
Who knows if what they have in terms of just quality audio from a live show back in the 70s.
That's true. All right. So we're both on board with that song. We both love that song.
Yep. Are we rating these or what are we doing?
You know what? I'm.
How about this? Is it Made in Heaven or should it go to that hot space?
That's funny. I like it. I like how you're thinking. Although,
if I had a Queen show, that's what it would be.
I like Hot Space. You know I do.
Yeah, but I mean, it should go to hell.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right. So the next song is also a Freddie, and it's Lazing on a Sunday Afternoon, which I have to imagine that when I first picked this album up, this was not a song I enjoyed as a kid.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know, they called this their Sergeant Pepper's.
Okay. So well, wait, if you tell me that, then songs like this make sense.
But they call that in hindsight. You know, I don't think
they didn't call it that at the time.
Right.
All right. But you know what I mean about this song. It's a
novelty.
This is what's funny about Queen. Like people go, I love Queen, Queen rocks. But then a song like this drops in, and I wonder what the hardcore Queen fans really think about these kind of songs.
I think it's like a speed bump for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And for track two, especially, to come off of a hard rocker. And then what you don't hear on the show is that while the songs aren't linked sonically like they were in Sheer Heart Attack, a lot of times they would just bleed into one another. They kind of do that here.
Yeah.
But it's a weird from whatever Brian was doing with his guitar to a jangly piano, which is this song.
Right.
And what I think is described as like a Noel Coward kind of
which is what a lot of rockers want to hear.
Right.
That was a Roy Thomas Baker thing that he would do with the fading the songs.
Yeah.
Because I read some article where he said he was hoping that if a song got played on radios back in the day, the DJs might just let it go into the next song.
Weren't they issued singles though?
Maybe. This is what I read. He could be lying. You know, he toys with me. He retweets
He does not exist on Twitter. That is a bot. Has there ever been an original tweet from Roy Thomas Baker? It's always a like, right? Or a retweet.
Yeah.
There's never been anything that's actually
that bastard
said.
When it happens, though, I get excited.
Me too.
All right. Lazing on a Sunday afternoon. Here we go. It's only a minute and 7 seconds. It's barely a song. It's more of an interlude between songs, right?
Yeah. Well, double shot of Fred.
Like, if you were listening to this on an album, you wouldn't say, like, oh, I want to hear Lazin, and you drop your needle right on track two. You would never do that.
But it's smart because you're in and out of it. Like, before you think, why
That's
is
true.
This on a Queen album?
That's true. Right?
Why would this be on an album by a band called Queen?
I don't hate that song, but it's an odd one.
There's also Delilah, you know what I mean? Or Back to Humans.
Delilah is a song, though, you know what I mean? And Back to Humans is not good.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of oddities.
But again, they're more of an interlude than like a song. Like, no one says, you know what my favorite Queen song is? Lazing on a Sunday Afternoon.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, you're not going to.
In Queen circles.
Certainly not here today. Next is the song
Steve-O Dockerson would say this.
Yes, yeah. Steve-O would definitely love Lazing on a... And maybe Hob the Troll could record a version of that. that would be good. That I would be into. This is the song. This next song is the one that they had lots of fun with in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
Right.
Making fun of Roger Taylor's song, I'm in Love with My Car, written and sung by Roger Taylor. I like this song. Do you like this song?
I love this song.
I've always loved this song.
The B-side to Bohemian?
Yeah. I'm in love with this song. Let's hear it. The Machine of a Dream. And I'm not even a car guy. I don't care about cars. But I like this
song. You're not a car guy, Pat?
No. What do we got down there? a Toyota Matrix and a Toyota Prius? Look, they're both white. We're not flashy. They both work. Dependable.
Just like you, Pat.
Yeah.
White, not flashy, dependable.
Dependable. I'm actually dressed up a little bit today. I got a collared shirt on.
Yeah.
I got jeans on. I got long pants. All right.
Long pants.
Here we go.
My chance.
The machine of a dream. Such a clean machine. With the pistons a pumping. Cops all good.
is fantastic guitar work on that song.
Yeah, and piano.
So, do you think in real life they really made fun of the song, or was that just concocted for the movie?
Probably somewhere in the middle. I know that this was the song that, like, Roger Taylor made a mint off this song simply because it was the B-side to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like accidental money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, yeah,
so
sure.
This was what started the years-long debate between the band members, from what I understand, about royalties, and that's why everything was just Queen after a certain point.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They would get bitter. I mean, did Freddie deserve all the money for Bohemian Rhapsody? Certainly. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody was buying it for Roger's song.
I mean, they could have just put a Freddie song as the B-side then.
Right.
They could have put Lazy on a Sunday Afternoon as the B-side, and then Freddie would have made all the money.
Right. Right.
And then they would have been mad about that.
For the most part, though, they do have, on their A's and B's, they do have an alternate songwriter on the B-side.
It's kind of
just
like
to be
a
fair.
It's fair in single sales, but then it also, isn't that saying that that song's not worthy of being an A song?
Well, sure, but they also didn't release, at this point, they weren't releasing B-side only tracks.
True.
Which is the real sign of this stinks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't know what to do with it. With the exception of, and you know what I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to say, from The Works, I Go Crazy.
It's a great song.
Which is better than some of the songs on The Works.
Yeah. And again, I've said this a million times, The Works only has 9 songs. That could have been on the album.
I don't understand.
The Works only has 9 songs, so
right.
You could have put
you could have put that
song on and made it 5 and 5, 10 songs on
Let
the album.
Let Me in Your Heart Again could have been on The Works, and they didn't put that in.
They just didn't, you know.
And that's better than...
They didn't ask us. Why weren't they asking us?
I don't know. Put me in charge of Queen.
So that was... today you are. Today you're in charge of Queen. So that's the only Roger Taylor composition,
right,
and the only Roger Taylor lead vocal on this album. Now we're going to move into some... This song is just so good. I never get tired of the song. You're My Best Friend.
And who's this by?
John Deacon wrote this.
Yeah, one song he
One
gets.
Song.
And what does he do? You know what I'm saying?
It's one of the best songs in the album.
Yes.
Because that's
the
what he does.
Second big single, yeah.
Yeah, that's how he rolls. And the guy doesn't sing, but he's a songwriter. I love it. Here we go. Song isn't even 3 minutes long. It's 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
You know who's on piano on that?
I thought it was Freddie, but
John Deacon on electric piano.
Oh, really? That guy's amazing. If that guy could sing, he would have broken away from the band.
Did we talk about this before on the show? That I always thought it was a big shame that he didn't continue to songwrite.
When did he stop?
After Queen.
Well, yes. Okay, I see what you mean. Maybe he could only... I think when Freddie passed, I think that was really bad for him.
My theory is this, right? So he was the last guy to join.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he ever felt like it was his band.
That's... I hate stories like that. And, how can it not be your band?
You know what I mean, right?
I guess so.
And when you look at who collaborated, he and Freddie were the only ones that... His only co-writer with Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Toward the latter part of the...
Yeah.
So maybe that was really the only support he had in the band.
How could he not have support? He writes amazing hit songs.
Because he doesn't write... Well, you know, famously there was that fight during... I think it was Hot Space, where he told Brian May, like, I don't want your kind of guitar on my songs.
All right. Well, that's hard to say because it's a band.
He wrote a song called I Want to Break Free. That might have been...
Yeah.
Indicative.
The previous album that we talked about a little bit, Sheer Heart Attack. His lone composition on that is Misfire. That's a fantastic song. And it, and that song is only 1 minute and 50 seconds. He's keeping it nice and short. John Deacon, retired, recluse.
And wrote arguably their biggest hit.
Which one?
Another One Bites the Dust.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
that's a big crossover hit.
It's a signature song for sure.
Yeah.
With that bass. That's him.
Lifted right off of Sheik's Good Time.
So we, is that true?
That's
pretty close.
It looks, yeah.
So side one, we had Freddie, then Roger, then John, and now we're going to have double shot of Brian May. First one is going to be 39.
Brilliant.
Love this song.
Do you know what it's about?
Something that happened in the year 39.
Okay.
Tell me about it. You got notes. I don't have anything.
It's about time travel.
It's about what?
It's about theory of relativity in space. Somebody explorers leave, they come back, and they're kind of the same age, but they come back to Earth, and their ancestors are now, I'm sorry, their descendants are now like grandparents.
And this happened in 1939?
Well, it would have been like 2139 or something.
So it's a futuristic song.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to listen to this song differently now.
He's a scientist. He's a brilliant scientist. He wrote a song, a folk song about time travel. That's
so he's a nerd.
He's one of my people.
He's a nerd. All right, here we go. 39. It's about whatever David said. Are those harmonies? Is that what we call those?
Yes.
They sound great.
Are you saying this band has a shot, Pat?
I'm saying, guys, keep pushing your little rock and something's going to happen.
You like that upright? That bass is an upright bass.
I didn't know that either. That's why you're here with your written handwritten notes. You didn't type that out in a Word doc and print it. You wrote handwritten notes. You did some doodling.
Did some search.
I love when Brian May sings lead.
Yeah, it's rare. It got rare, more rare as it went along.
Yeah, but and I like Roger's voice too.
Yeah, it's people forget that they are formidable vocalists.
It's ballsy to have Freddie Mercury as your lead vocalist and then say, yeah, but I'm going to sing this one.
Yeah, you could sit this one out, Fred.
Yeah, you calm down. You do some harmonies or bang the piano or something.
Do a couple lines.
Yeah.
Not of Coke, but I meant like you just sing a couple lines.
And
that,
or,
that came
and,
later.
And then Coke.
That came later.
So far, this is a solid side one. I mean, look, I talked about lazing on a Sunday afternoon, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
I was talking in it more in how did the hard rockers feel about it. But this is a strong side one so far.
It is, you know, I would call it more of, maybe there's Sgt. Pepper, but more certainly like a white album kind of a thing where it's, let's just see how it goes.
Yeah. And the album cover is white.
Yes.
But it's got...
designed by Fred.
It's got many less songs.
Fewer songs?
Fewer
is
songs.
That what you're looking for? The word fewer?
This is our guest for the summer, Elliot. This is David.
Hello.
That stays in. We don't edit that out. Stays right in the show. It's just someone walked through and we said hello to them.
Audio verite.
I thought it would be like I can ignore Elliot and she can ignore me, but it would have been weird if like
if I
didn't acknowledge her with you.
I think it'd be better if you just let people think it's, you remember in those old audio dramas, they would have the tiny little door
right.
open up and be, you just picture this person.
True. So here's another Brian May song, but not sung by Brian. This is sung by Freddie, right?
Yep.
And this is Sweet Lady. Who do you write this for?
It might have been about his wife, but maybe not.
How many marriages does Brian May have?
Two.
How many do you have?
Still working on the first.
All right.
It is work, though, isn't it?
Uh-oh. We're opening up. Work in what way? First of all, when everyone gets married, you don't know everything about that person.
No.
Even if you've lived together for a few years, you don't know everything about that person.
Secret spill, man.
And you don't know, how they
do
things.
What I mean by work is just because you're married doesn't mean like, all right, we're married. No, you have to, to put work into it.
You still have to surprise them.
You still got to court. You got to make them feel like.
You got to do nice things for them.
The most important person. Who's not, outside of your kids, you know what I mean?
Like, right.
This is your partner. That's what I mean by work.
Like, right. You got to protect them, make them feel loved and comforted and safe.
And it's not working in a bad way either. I just mean like you can't just like, it's not like a cactus. You just water it every now and again. You know what I mean?
Don't you wish it was though? More no, like not a cactus. At all. Just so simple.
Nope. I love my wife and I love being married. I don't know what to tell you.
Are you going to let her listen to this? You can tell her at 31 minutes you said
she'll
you loved her.
She'll never listen to this.
No, of course. She's so tired of your queen talk. They're so tired of queen talk. They're sick of it.
Yeah,
so
she has
sick of it.
That glazed look.
What do you think what I did on the door over there? Look, I took some double stick tape and I hung some more albums up. I'm like, I'm not framing all these, but I'll do this.
Are you worried about ruining the album?
No.
Okay.
Because the tape is, it's the kind of tape that just rolls right off the back.
Much like your insults.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mr. Big.
What do you think, though?
Wait, are you asking me to comment on the caliber of artist that's on the wall?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, in lieu of spending upwards of $200 to have those 10 albums framed, I just did that.
I wouldn't pay money to frame an Asia album, are you?
How dare you? That's got three original members' signatures on that. Classic artwork by Roger Dean. Also, I couldn't pound a nail into that door because it's not like a solid door. So that works, I think.
Somebody wrote a paragraph.
Yeah, Walter Egan wrote a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Is his phone number on that? His email address?
I hope so. I think it's some fan fiction. I think it's...
Venmo me at.
All right. Sweet Lady, written by Brian, sung by Freddie, and you assume it's for his wife. Could it be for his mom?
I don't know. Dragon Attack's about his wife. I know that.
All right.
Sailor Sweet Sister's about his wife.
All right. Yeah.
Too Much Love Can Kill You is about his wife.
Wow. He writes a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Here we go. Sweet Lady. Sweet, sweet lady.
Stay sweet.
Nice bass on that song too.
Yeah.
Some sweet bass.
Like I'm some kind of cheese, though. I've never understood that lyric.
Yeah,
I feel like
sweet cheese.
I feel like that's like a take two kind of. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, that's like fried chicken.
Well, you know the story behind that.
He's just scatting, right?
Kind of. Like yeah, he was. And then
we're talking about the song One Vision, everybody, right. from the amazing movie. What's the movie called that it's in?
Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle, yes. Was it in Iron Eagle 2, maybe?
No, 1.
Okay.
Thank you. Freddie's partner, Jim Hutton. I think they consider themselves like husband and husband, to be honest.
Okay.
So I'll say his husband. Heard a rough of that and said, "Oh, fried chicken, that's great. You should keep that in." And Freddie's like, "No, this is temp." And then when the album came out, he said, like, he played it for Jim Hutton, and
yeah,
Jim Hutton was like, "Oh, you kept it for me." And Freddie's like, "Yeah, I did.
That's nice."
Yeah, nonsense to everyone
to
else,
millions
of others, but it was a touching moment between these two.
I like on the Magic Years when we get to see them recording that.
Oh God,
I don't know why the Magic Years has not been released properly on
right.
DVD.
Probably on YouTube.
Oh, I know it's on YouTube, yeah. But I like to hold something in my hand and put it in my own player. I like to, I like the physical content. You know it.
What is it? One something, two shits, John Deacon, something like that.
Right. We're going to close out side one, seven songs strong on side one. It's a long side one, not in time-wise, but song-wise. Right. And this is Freddie's song, written and sung by Freddie. And it's Seaside Rendezvous. And this is another one that's in that lazing on a Sunday afternoon mode.
Jangly.
Yeah. But I like it. 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Now, these are the type of songs that would appeal to Pilar because she's from musical theater.
This is the argument I have with my wife, right?
Okay.
Like she says, you hate musicals, but you like this.
Yeah.
And I said, but it's sung by Freddie Mercury, and it's got Brian on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brian and, I mean, Roger and Freddie are doing the weird mouth, they're playing
kazoos or something.
Yeah, kazoos or something. I guess it gets a pass for me, but
yeah,
it is very musical theater.
It is. It is.
It makes me want to punch myself in the face for liking it, but.
Well, we could tell our wives, look, a band like this is making us appreciate the music you like.
Does this make you like High School Musical?
No.
Yeah.
So seven songs clocks in at 21 minutes.
That's a short.
It's a short
A-side,
album side. Yeah. Yep.
Pat, you're from the album era. What was kind of the average length of an album on a side?
I think about 22 minutes. I think once you get a little bit more,
so short.
I know. Once you get past that, I think the it can't be as loud as it possibly can be. Does that make sense?
Okay, it's a mix thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. So why is it today? Like when these albums are released, it'll be like a quadruple set or something where it'll be.
I don't know why they do that. Where Peter Gabriel's So is spread out over four sides.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Are they maximizing the?
I don't know. I don't want to flip an album after two songs though. Jeez. Because like my turntable doesn't.
That's the new Bob Dylan album.
My turntable doesn't have an automatic. The arm isn't automatic, so when it gets to the end, it doesn't, you know, kick over. So you have to be there before the needle hits the label. Yeah. And I always assume that as soon as the needle hits the label, the needle's
it's broken. You're wrecking it.
Yeah, it's killing it. We kick off with an 8 minute and 21 second song on side two, written by Brian May and sung by Brian May, the Prophet song.
Yeah, this one is rough for me.
It's rough for me too.
Like this could have, you said it's 8 minutes, right?
8 minutes.
Should have been three or four. Like there's a lot of fat that could have been trimmed off this one.
I probably queued it up around 4 minutes in or something.
We haven't even started. We don't know. The wise man hasn't even entered the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you saying, is this the one that you would?
Hot space it.
Yeah. This
wrecks the album almost for me. It really just, it is a skid.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of it either. Now watch, I'm going to play it and then
you're going to love it.
And I'm going to go, you know what? Okay, let's try
it. It's like the movie. It won you.
Sometimes the headphones make you appreciate it. I'm sorry, I said it was sung by Brian, but it's not. It's sung by Freddie.
He's in there.
He's in there, yeah. I mean, I feel we're going to make people mad because that
you played a great part.
I did play a great part. Yeah. I queued it up nicely. That was I was on board with that for the first time since 1975.
But when you get to the human zoo part,
yeah,
and People, can you hear me? People, can you hear me?
Again, I can find 30 or 40 seconds of the shittiest song ever and play, and you'll go, oh, that sounds good.
I don't know the sequence of when these songs are recorded, but I feel like this is Freddie's way of saying, hey, Brian, why don't you work out all this shit that I'm trying to get through on Bohemian Rhapsody on this song?
Yeah.
And then I'll, and then this is like the demo.
It's
my stuff.
It's very proggy, too. This is like, this could be a Yes. This is a Yes song.
Or an Asia song.
Asia was prog pop. Their songs were in 8 minutes.
There's a difference, I see.
Yeah, Asia was more radio accessible than...
Is that right?
Than some old Yes stuff.
Is anyone from Yes in Asia?
Yeah.
How many?
Steve Howe.
Who played guitar?
Guitar, yeah.
No, he played guitar on Innuendo.
Yes, he does. But he's not in Queen.
He wishes.
Well then, yeah, you couldn't have two guitarists in Queen.
You have four guitarists in Queen, actually.
Yeah, but they don't all play guitar on the albums.
John did. Started to play more. Misfires him.
All right. Okay.
Plays it on this.
This is why you're here. You're an expert.
Okay.
All right. Next
Freddie,
song.
Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
Next song is Love of My Life, written and sung by Freddie. Beautiful song. Pivotal part
by Brian.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
No, Love of My Life is written by Freddie. He wrote it.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I was thinking of...
This is a pivotal part of the movie hate.
My bad.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Who does he write this for?
Mary?
Yeah, the love of his life. Mary.
Now that would have been the great story, right? That's the movie story.
Mm-hmm.
That means tragic. It's a tragic love story. It just won't work.
No. Beard of my life.
I think that's amazing that he loved her in a way that he couldn't love anybody else, but he couldn't love her in the way he maybe wanted to.
Not the way he loved Jim Hutton.
Right. Or the guy that he wrote a song we'll hear shortly.
All right. So here's Love of My Life. I assume this has been played at many weddings. Maybe your first dance.
It shouldn't be. It's kind of because they talk about when we grow apart.
I find that a lot of times with wedding songs, people only glom on to what the chorus says.
Right.
He does say, "Love of my life, you've hurt me."
Right. Not the third act where when we're old and it's not like we're not together.
I'm going to backtrack on what I said about this being played at weddings.
When was your song? I don't want to miss a thing, right?
Well, that ended up being it. But no, we picked some Sting song that was a cover of
Fields
some.
Fields of...
No, I don't... You're going to make me look it up. But here, I'll look it up.
It's okay.
I'll look it up.
I don't want to hear about your happiness with Pilar.
I'll look it up. It
hurts my heart.
All right. Where is it? I might type in Sting and it won't show it to me. So I've got to scroll through all the Police songs.
So these are the ones that don't warrant a frame.
It doesn't mean they don't warrant a frame. Runaways. It's just I've had them for so long. I have more that I don't have in a frame. It's expensive to frame them.
Dennis DeYoung, Steve Miller.
Yeah.
I love this story. Here's a black Sharpie for an all black album.
He was nice, but he was a little, he wasn't not nice, but he was just like, but he found a spot. The song was You Were Meant For Me from the soundtrack The Object of My Affection. It was Sting's version.
Is that the one about the two
Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd?
Oh, that was a different movie.
Paul Rudd's gay in that movie. It's not it's a lovely song, but it's not easy to dance to. Can you dance to it? You can't.
You know what ours was?
What?
Sing Along Junk.
Who's that
from
by?
Paul McCartney?
Oh, okay. Okay. Fun.
Yeah.
So your wife's on board with the McCartney. You obviously picked that. She had no say.
She loved that song.
All right.
She didn't like the lyrics. That's why we had the sing-along version.
All right. Love of My Life.
Love of my life, you've hurt me. You've broken my heart, and now you...
Brian May plays the harp.
Right, he learned it for this album.
Oh my God. Ukulele, harp?
And the toy Koto.
Crazy.
Don't take it away from me, because you don't know what it means to me.
Sold 3 million copies in the U.S. I feel like this
sold
more. No, the album.
Oh, yeah.
The album. Feels like it's...
You mean initially?
That's just what it says on Wikipedia.
Oh.
I'm sure they're wrong.
That's how many?
3 million.
That's three times platinum. That's pretty good.
I know, but I mean, since the movie and since Wayne's World, that it would have sold more.
Here's the thing, though. Wayne's World, they were probably buying Classic Queen in the U.S., for that, right? For the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, nobody buys the albums anymore, so they probably just heard the tracks on Spotify or listened to the soundtrack itself.
Yeah, true.
All right, here we go. One, two, three. Wayne's World! It's Wayne's World! Everybody try! It's excellent! It's Wayne's World! It's Wayne's World!
When else am I going to be able to play that?
When you have G.E. Smith on the show.
This is Aerosmith's version.
He wrote it.
I didn't know that, yeah. But G.E. Smith is amazing.
Yeah.
Weird looking dude, though, right? Scary. Looks like the Frankenstein monster.
I'm glad. Thank you for saying Frankenstein's monster.
Look.
That's my pet peeve. Two things. When people say...
That's really your pet peeve. You're that guy.
And when they call vampires Draculas...
Well, that is, now I'm on board with that. Let's not do
or
that.
Or they call immortals Highlanders? No.
I like to say Dracula's the doctor, not the vampire.
That's Dr. Dracula?
Yeah, Dr. Dracula.
Dr. Alucard.
Speaking of, you slipped it in there, a little Highlander talk. So it looks like Henry Cavill is going to be.
He's in the movie. That doesn't mean he's. McCloud.
Well, who do you think he is? You think he's Kurgan?
He could be the Kurgan, right? The model / Kurgan. I don't know if he's supposed to be McCloud, maybe.
What was that Netflix show he was just in where he had the long...
Witcher?
Yeah, they just saw him in The Witcher and go, oh yeah, put a wig and a sword in his hand and he's good.
Yeah.
We're good to go. All right.
Listen, it's not going to be the same. People don't understand that what made that movie were two things. The soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Mulcahy's direction.
Yeah.
Like, it is...
But sadly, Russell Mulcahy, he couldn't direct this good sequel.
That wasn't his fault. Everybody was contractually obligated to come back.
It's a script. It's the script, though, is what you need first. You first need a good script.
Yes. But where else could you go when the first movie had an ending? Like, it's over.
Yeah, true. I do feel that... I do feel like that's a movie that needs a remake.
Well, congratulations. You're getting your wish.
You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, like some movies are like I don't think Highlander's great.
I don't think you're great, Pat.
Well, then I need a reboot too.
Yeah. Pilar said that too. Your kids?
Look for Mike Siegel or Sean Cassidy to be living
Alexi
here.
Lawless? What's the other guy?
I don't know. Anyone.
Leif Erickson.
Leif Garrett. No.
He loves her. Remember? He was like, hey, who's that?
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, I do.
Okay, let's
move on. I
started
balling up my fists. I was getting mad.
Okay, now this is written by Brian May. This is sung by Brian May. This is track 10, Good Company.
Excellent.
I always forget when I pull this album out, I always forget how deep into the album Bohemian Rhapsody actually is.
It's like, 'cause it's almost the end.
It's almost the end. It's like, the penultimate song on the album.
They got to save up all that room.
How much better is it recording in person than on that Zoom?
I don't do this, so you got to tell me.
So much better. If you look, if you're here and I'm saying it's better, then you know that it.
Am I the only guest who brings treats?
I'm trying to think. Only classy people bring treats. I think Christy sometimes will bring a treat in a bottle.
Right. Wait, but that's for her.
She might let you sniff the cork. All right, Good Company. And right now in my head, I can't think how this song goes at all.
I'm not going to do it. You'll hear it.
All right.
It's a fancy.
It's fancy schmancy.
It is Brian May's version of a Freddie song.
Oh, yeah, it sure is. Some nonsense.
You don't like it?
I don't know if I like that one.
I liked it. Speaking of wedding songs, my buddy Nick Jones of the Pot of Thunder podcast, this was his wedding song.
That's good. Why wasn't it Burn Bitch Burn? Why wasn't it a Kiss song?
Because maybe his wife wasn't on board with she's more of like a room service person, I think.
Maybe I could use a meal.
Maybe she's more of a torpedo girl. Like, I don't know.
Danger you, danger me, danger us.
Those my wife guys. Lost her shit when she heard that lyric. She was crying laughing.
It's ridiculous.
This is what you listen to.
Yeah, there's 68-year-old men wrote that song.
Danger me, danger, danger us.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was clever.
Danger, and then U.S., Danger Us. It's ridiculous.
How is that not the name of their tour, right? Danger Us.
You know, for as much money as they've made, there's a lot of missteps by that band.
Were there?
I think so. I think so.
You mean like Keeping On Going?
Yeah. They're still going. And now they got a two-part documentary series coming on A&E. There's nothing new to know.
Part one, Paul. Part two, Gene. Is that how it is?
Probably. What are they? There's nothing new that we're going to learn. The story's been told.
It's for the fans.
Like someone said, why don't you get Paul Stanley on? Try to get Paul Stanley. I don't want to assume that I could get. But I feel like all the answers are already locked and loaded. No matter what you ask, they have some generic answer for it.
Well, one, didn't he mute you?
Gene blocked me on
I think Paul did too.
Twitter.
He did. No, he did because you said his mic wasn't turned on.
He blocked Pat Francis. He did not block Rock Solid. And trust me, they don't know who's who.
Oh, I think that guy keeps score.
You think Paul keeps score?
Listen to Eddie Trunk and it. Well, yeah.
He needs to head over to my Cameo and see how that's working out.
Your former Cameo, as soon as they find out.
I so wanted to have Ace on because I was gonna do a segment where
all Trump songs
where the Paul puppet asks Ace some questions because I tried to get Ace during the COVID so it would have been right. Zoom and I could have said Ace hold on a second and then I would have just put the puppet on and then had it appear I think he would have lost his mind. I think he would have thought it was really funny. Is it too hot in here? I can turn the air on.
No, it's okay.
All right,
just getting nude. That's what Freddie would do.
All right. Now, this next song, I don't even know how this one goes. Bohemian Rhapsody. Have you heard it?
That is, this is a cover song. It was originally written. It's a Gregorian chant.
All right. Let's try this 5 minutes and 54 seconds, but it doesn't feel like it.
You got to play the whole thing.
It's really difficult.
Eight songs in one.
It's very difficult to find.
Here's the thing about this song. Yeah. Originally called the Cowboy Song, right?
Okay.
He'd been working on that since 1971, 72.
I feel like this is going to be a long story, so I'm going to have a moose cake.
That's it.
All right.
It's a much older song than people think. And then, we talked about, I think, on the Bohemian Rhapsody show or episode, that this is kind of his coming out song in some ways. Look, there's a trilogy, right? Lily of the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
This one, Mama, I Killed a Man, Put a Gun Against His Head. Like, this is who I really am, kind of a thing. And then the third part is Don't Stop Me Now, which is like, hey, guess who's here?
Hey, life
Mr.
of the party. Life of the party's here.
Yeah. So this is Queen has been very mum about what this is about.
Yeah. Don't Stop Me Now. He kicks the closet door open.
Yeah, but it's like kicks it open with like four trays of Coke in his in his hands. And
I feel like now I'm smacking my lips.
Yeah.
I feel like the party scenes in Bohemian Rhapsody, because they wanted the movie to be PG-13, are not as debauchery filled as the real parties were.
Oh, just watch his videos from. There's a couple of videos that he filmed at his parties.
Okay.
Or they used footage from his parties. You're like, what? They're like people on gondolas, you know, they're all like, he's dressed like in his Harlequin pants and like some sort of naval commander jacket. And there are, you know, people in drag all around him. It looks like a Baron Munchausen fantasy almost.
It doesn't look real, and yet it's real.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's Freddie's 40th and like 40th birthday party.
Wow. And how many more birthdays did he have after that?
Five.
That's unbelievable.
I'm going to outlive Freddie this year. This is my last year.
Well, David, whenever someone dies, David always likes to let me know who I outlived. I know that I've outlived Roy Orbison, which is
Do you know
scary.
What frightened me the other day? Somebody, and I don't know if this is true necessarily, but they said that when the actors who played Norm and Cliff on Cheers were 33 and 35.
What a mess those guys were.
The first season. Those 33 and 35.
Those guys were a mess then. Look at them. Terrible. Wow. All right. Here we go. I don't know where I queued this up. I'm sure it's a good part.
Bismillah. Oh, right at the beginning. After the...
Actually, I did cue it. 56 minutes in, though. Killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on. I will say that Queen, I feel like they did their remasters very well. I liked what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I liked when they did them in 1991. I liked them.
I liked when they did in 2014.
And then when they double dipped on us, I liked that too. So
yeah,
good job.
I have mixed feelings about the double dip, but
well, the gave us some more stuff.
But they weren't like they weren't as robust as they could have been, right? The bonus was like five songs. A lot of times it was a live track that had been released somewhere else or in a different collection.
But then when those things are too robust, like I don't care about Good Company Take Four.
I know you don't, Pat, but there are those of us who love to hear the process.
Right, but you'll hear that. You'll listen. How many times do you go back to that, though? Be honest. You listen to it once or twice?
Depends. It depends. Like, there's no absolute.
All right.
But I will say this, like News of the World, one of my favorite, all-time favorite Queen albums. One of my favorite albums ever.
That's a good deluxe edition.
Right.
But booklet alone.
But I don't go back and listen to a lot of that stuff. I mean, right. All Dead, even All Dead, which has the, you know, the Freddie on the vocals. Mm-hmm. That was like the big draw, right?
Yeah.
I still prefer Brian's. So it's not necessarily...
Yeah. Sometimes the thing you're used to is so ingrained in you that you don't care about.
There's a quality of, I think, I don't really know what the word I want to say is, but there's something about it when it's the songwriter versus the better singer that still might come out. It's still not, it won't be as powerful because it's sort of a filtered voice at that point. It's once removed.
Yeah.
You know, like Too Much Love Will Kill You sounds better from Freddie.
Right.
But the Brian version feels better.
Yeah. And when Freddie sings it, it's eerie.
Right.
Because Too Much Love did kill him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Too much sex.
Well, pneumonia killed him.
Yeah, but that's a complication of the big A.
Right.
That's also what I call Aerosmith, the big A.
Big A.
All right, we close it out.
Those guys are alive still.
That's amazing. Kind of is amazing.
That's a song too. If there's amazing,
it's amazing. Yeah, that's from the album Get a Grip, where the songs are amazing, crazy. They're all like crazy, crying, amazing, craze, whatever it is. Okay, we close it out with 1 minute and 15 seconds of a traditional song arranged by Brian May, "God Save the Queen." It's just an instrumental. Should I save it and use this as our playout song?
Sure.
I'll use this as the playout song for the entire episode. So. Let's take a look real quick. What's your least favorite song on this
album?
Prophet Song.
You have to wait. Prophet Song.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. That's my least favorite one too, even though I drop it in at a sweet spot. And what's your favorite song on this album?
it's really a toss-up between 39 and You're My Best Friend. Because you're my best friend, Pat.
Yeah, well, for today, because you brought me some sweet some sweet cakes.
I know it's Tom.
It's Tom Neuerberg. He's an American hero. He saved lives. For me, I would say it's either, like, no one, you can't pick Bohemian Rhapsody. Everyone enjoys it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still enjoy
it's
it.
It's not the song's fault that I've heard it. I never need to hear it again.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to say for me, it's You're My Best Friend, or I really do love Death on Two Legs. So we're in agreement on You're My Best Friend.
Yep.
We'll say that's our favorite on the album.
Yep.
And we'll say Prophet Song is our least favorite.
Yep.
All right, cool. Now I'm excited to get into A Day at the Races because I feel like this one is not as well known as Night at the Opera.
And it's Queen on their own. No
more under the thumb of RTB fading the songs in and out.
Well, John Deacon says that they felt like they learned all they needed to learn.
I'm sure they did. They worked with him for how many albums?
Three?
Yeah. I mean, eventually...
They worked with him one more time.
They can, yeah, for jazz. Eventually, they can twiddle the knobs as well as he can, right?
I do think that there's something about having somebody else to maybe not necessarily call the shots, but...
Sounding board.
Yeah. Tell you guys that maybe you could do better.
You can do better or you can... Or that's too much.
Right.
I agree with that.
Had they had somebody who wasn't them maybe producing the miracle, who wasn't like... I don't... No slight on David Richards or anything like that, but I don't think... Maybe he was a powerful enough voice to say, maybe Khashoggi's ship isn't the way to go, guys.
I do like that. I do like that double shot of the party and Khashoggi's ship. Okay.
Well, maybe you're the wrong person to talk to about
Khashoggi's ship.
But, or Rain Must Fall. Like, maybe you shouldn't do this easy listening.
There's a lot of tracks on that album.
Yeah. So
there's too many tracks on it. Why'd they stop working with Reinhold Mack, my friend on Facebook?
I think he's German based and. Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know.
I like his production better than David Richards.
It's a different, but he's a different kind of, he's more like Giorgio Moroder in his sort of production quality than David Richards, yeah. Wouldn't you say?
I guess so. I'd have to think about that.
Like a Mutt Lange would have been interesting for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of producers that they could have leaned into had they, I'm sure anyone would have wanted to work with Queen.
Todd Rundgren, I would love to see what they could have come up with together.
Mutt Lange seems like a lock, right? For Queen? It seemed perfect.
Well, at that time, though, he was Leopard's guy.
I mean, he was working on putting his third year in on Hysteria.
Yeah.
He didn't have any time. All right, here we go. Now, we have to say that this album starts and ends with the same musical... like interlude, but you're not going to hear it
right
the way where I cued this to.
How are you on the interlude? Because I have my opinions on it.
I would rather this first song just get right into it.
Right? It takes way too damn
It takes
long.
Way too long to get into this song, which is fantastic. Written by Brian, sung by Freddie. I love it. Tie Your Mother Down. Played this for my mom on Mother's Day.
Swim with a brick, Nana.
Right.
Live versions of this song are amazing.
It's so good.
And Joe Elliott singing the song with Queen was wonderful too.
It's just a perfect rock and roll song. It's great.
It's Brian.
Tie Your Mother Down. I love it. And again, that's close to 5 minutes long. Doesn't feel like it.
No, no. Well, yes, it does because that beginning of...
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. The beginning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need like a single edit of that. All right. I got nothing... Nothing. Thumbs up. 10 out of 10. What are you going to say about it?
That was one of their singles.
Yeah.
You and I was the B side, And this album was recorded, you know, a year later, from July through November.
It's amazing. You would think that an album like A Night at the Opera, like, they wouldn't have had to release an album the next year.
It
they
was could tour, have, album, tour, album,
I know,
tour,
that's
album.
How it was back then. Give them a little rest.
Well, they there's a reason, you know, they had that two-year break.
I might get the months wrong, but I'm pretty sure Carole King's Tapestry came out in January of whatever the year was, 71, let's say. And her second album came out in December, 71. It's like, hey, guys.
Did she tour?
I think she probably did shows. I don't know how extensive her touring was. But I feel like that was a little too soon to release your follow-up to Tapestry.
That's true. Even though
same year,
she's just prolific. I mean, but yeah. The production itself.
I mean, how greedy is the record companies back then?
Super greedy.
Super greedy. Do you like how... I wonder, when they made Night at the Opera, do you think their intent was that the next album would automatically be called Day at the Races? Do you think they had that in their heads?
I know, from what I read, Night at the Opera was a last-minute decision as an album, a name.
Okay, so they didn't really know.
Right.
But then after the success, they said, why not? Let's lean into it.
Right, and then they presented Groucho Marx with Twin Platinum Records or something like
that. Did they really?
Yeah.
I wonder which grandkid has those that they've sold for meth.
Chico's. They sold everything to support who's the quiet one? Harpo.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they did a lot of projects to keep Harpo alive.
They're all dead now, right?
Allegedly.
I've said this recently on this show. Harpo Marx used to scare me so much as
Why?
A kid.
Because of the horn?
Because he was quiet and his eyes were evil, look crazy looking.
That's the booze, buddy.
Yeah. He was a boozer.
I think so. I'm talking out of turn. Your buddy Wayne Fetterman could tell you.
Wayne would know.
He wrote that great book. Have you read his book?
It's on my nightstand, but I haven't read it. He's going to be on PLR's podcast soon.
Okay.
So, and he's in The History of Late Night, the CNN show. He's interviewed a ton because he knows about all that stuff.
Get him back. He's a great guest.
He's so good. Yeah. He was only here twice. I need to get him again. I want people in person now. This is what I like.
Does he not live here?
No, he does.
Okay.
But you know what? You feel safe to be here. You're vaccinated. I'm vaccinated.
Yeah. From polio.
You're vaccinated, right?
Yeah,
sure. When
I thought you said anti-vaccinated.
No, no, I'm not having Rob Schneider over. All right, Freddy song, track two. Again, I don't know if this is the proper place for this song or not, in the track two spot. After Queen seems like they want to bring us up and then bring us down a little bit. So this is "You Take My Breath Away."
But speaking of unnecessarily long intros, this really takes its time to get going.
Yeah, not when I do it though.
Look into my eyes and you see I'm the only one. You've captured my love, stolen my heart, changed my life. Every time you make a move, you destroy my mind. You take my breath away.
Thoughts?
It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song.
Yes.
I am with you on placement, but it's so good.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's the placement, but this one just never does much for me.
I think it's the reset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, right. Nah, 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 and then it's
here we go.
But we're really going to take a long time to get here.
moving on, track three, written and sung by Brian May, Long Away. I love it.
It's about the road, man.
I love it. Written about his wife? No, I don't know.
It's about the road.
About being away from his wife.
That's her name.
Stare at the moon all day.
just love that next part, though, but I can't play it.
It's a long, long way behind us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's... Oh, there okay. it is.
Let it go, man.
Such a long, long way.
Yeah, this so far, this album, it takes me up, it brings me down, and then takes me right back up. Like, out of the three songs we just heard...
It's like life.
Yeah, but You Take My Breath Away is the one I like the least of these three so far.
Wow. It's so powerful to me.
But do you like it? You like it better than Long Away?
I think it's sung better. Maybe that's what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just like a stripped down... It's a love song. I forget who he wrote it about, his... boyfriend at the time, but it's just a great song. But that opening, this one's great too, though. I don't have the problem with it that you do. Maybe I just feel like there's a lot of stop start on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fantastic. By the way, Wake Up in the Morning with a Good Friend.
Yeah,
that's not about your wife.
No. it's just his buddy. They were out drinking. They were out drinking. And just crashing my room. It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. They
Everything's
probably
fine.
Didn't have to share rooms.
Sure.
Like now, this.
This is very un-rock and roll to have a song with the word waltz in the title.
But it's very rock and roll to be a millionaire.
Yeah. So here's a Freddie song, The Millionaire Waltz.
This has a great opening.
Bring out the charge of the love brigade. Spring in the
So Freddie.
Bring to the sound of the song parade. There is music and love everywhere. Give a little love to me.
That bass, my God.
It's pretty amazing.
I want to share it with you. We spent all our days holding hands together. Do you remember?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure as a teen I skipped this song.
I can see why.
Like if I made a mixtape, that wouldn't have been included.
I think the bass is the greatest part of this song. It's just so present and just.
Yeah. Doo-doo-doo-doo. It's Deacon John.
He's their hidden weapon. I don't think he gets enough credit, to be honest.
Yeah, because coming up next, we got a John Deacon song. He brings one song in. It's a grand slam.
I have this, I just, in my mind, it's always like, so John, what'd you bring in? Oh, I just.
I don't think it's any good.
Yeah.
One of those guys.
No, he just puts it down and leaves the room. And everyone's like, fuck.
All right. I see where you're going. That son of a bitch. Then they say that son of a bitch. Damn it. Now we can't.
One song.
Another year, we can't fire him.
Right.
And then whenever
it's. We just had him here to do our taxes.
And whenever it's his song on a Queen album, he has to insert himself with another instrument because he plays acoustic guitar on this song.
Right.
So this is.
Lead it.
Yep. It's my song, guys. I got to do it. This is You and I. Yeah.
You ever have a title fight for You and I?
What would the other one be?
There's a couple different versions by the Monkees. They could have their own title fight.
Is it an ampersand or is it a AND? Let me look. I'll look them up in my iTunes. This is the only way I can find these title fights.
You and I talk.
Let me see what we got.
Does it have to be the same spelling? If it's you and I versus you ampersand and I?
No, I guess it doesn't. I'm not seeing that. I don't know why none are popping up here.
Well, next time you do one.
Yeah, I'll
you got something.
I'll dig into it a little bit more. You told me the Dolan Sings Nesmith album is great.
It is so good. It's better than we deserve.
I haven't.
As humans.
Mine should be here this week, but and hopefully.
Why haven't you just cheated and listened to it online?
I don't know. There's something about it. It arrives, and I.
But just to
put it in.
I couldn't have waited.
Yeah, I can wait.
I don't have that.
Like I don't even.
I don't have as much time as you, Pat.
I don't know that I have much time either, but I have to enter. You know the cult, right?
The band, or
the band.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, you know Scientology. Yeah, is what I'm talking about. So I'm interviewing Billy Duffy on Tuesday. He doesn't want to talk about the cult.
What does he want to talk about?
Well, he has a new album out with Mike Peters from The Alarm. So I'm supposed to keep the cult talk to a minimum.
Yeah, hi, I'm Monica Lewinsky. I only want to talk about the handbag line.
Yeah, I mean, it's I haven't done any preparation with it because I can't, it's hard to get my mind around it. I mean, I could just, you know, lean into some cult stuff.
You could just say, pretend you were in a previous band. Here's some questions I might have.
I mean, I could just ask him cult stuff and maybe he gets mad. I don't know.
You don't want a Lamoureux situation.
I don't want a John Lamoureux situation. No, you said that, not me.
No, there was he had that show where the guy was like antagonistic toward him.
Yeah, I don't know what that. I might just sign out of the Zoom if that happened to me.
Yeah,
I'm just going, hey, go fuck yourself.
Well, he, you know, the other guy left, but
I'm excited.
My hats off to John for having the balls to put it out.
Yeah, yeah, I'd put it out too, though.
You would?
Yeah, I'd preamble it there. I'd go, this guy was a dick. So here's what happened. Okay, this is a straight up classic song, one of my favorite Queen songs of all time. What a way to kick off side two. It's just, I think it's perfect. Now, I don't know if I'm overselling it.
Drowse.
It's not Drowse. No. It is. It's the song that was cut from Life Killers, Somebody to Love.
Every day of my life, I work till I ache my bones. At the end
of the day,
I take home my heart on me.
Oh,
on
my own.
I go down, my knees
fly away,
till the tears run down from my eyes.
Oh,
somebody, ooh, somebody,
please.
Now, when I sing this in my car, I feel like I sound exactly like Freddie.
Well, we all do when we sing.
When
this
I sing
in
that in the car,
I'm like him at Milton Keynes. Just
Milton Keynes at the bowl.
Yeah,
from June of '82.
That is the best version of the song.
It's
incidentally
great.
But yeah, no, that's me.
So here's what I do want to talk.
George Michael says I can't sing that well.
No, how come George Michael didn't join Queen? Why didn't they get him in the band?
Okay, if you're George Michael, would you take all the money or would you split it three ways?
He was willing to split it half and half with that Ridgely guy.
Half to a point, right?
I mean, he could have done both.
Do you see Brian May like playing Freedom?
Maybe.
Freedom Night, whatever.
Maybe.
It is. Okay.
Faith? Faith isn't that far off of Crazy Little Thing Called Love, or you know what I mean?
I guess, but I can't see those guys. They give Adam Lambert one song per show.
And that's it.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, here's what I was going to say. The 1991 Hollywood Records reissues, they all had a couple of bonus tracks that were bonus remixes.
Oh, did you like the remix of this one?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I liked all those remixes. Those were fun. But then when they did the 2011 ones, they didn't include those.
Well, they were a different company, right?
No, it was both on Hollywood Records. Well, the second ones might be Universal Music.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I wish Hollywood would take all those songs that were the bonus remixes on the 91 and release those on one CD together.
Except for the Flash remix.
And of course, I know that I can put that together myself.
And the Rick Rubin one.
Yes.
Rick Rubin's We Will Rock You.
Yeah, that was kind of bombastic. And I'm talking about Queen, and his was bombastic. All right, moving on. Brian May. He writes this, Freddie sings it. It's White Man.
How do you feel about this song?
Again, it's one of these ones that right now I can't even think in my head, even though I listened this morning, how it goes. But I don't think it's one of my favorites.
It's the Hollidaysburg national anthem.
Oh, yeah. This is the mayor's theme song. Unbelievable. What's the song about?
That riff that's been used before, right?
Possibly. This is about cowboys and Indians.
Which is a good Roger Taylor song. From the Cross.
So yeah, this is about the red man and the white man.
We all need a prophet song somewhere.
Yeah. How do you feel on this one?
I hot space this one.
Yeah, I don't like this one. I don't like it.
Because it's... I just called it the man.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
I always have a weird... Like, you're English, right?
What do they know about indigenous people?
Well, other than wiping them out. Yeah, I don't know. No, because he's so far removed from this, right?
It's
1976.
I feel like, didn't they have another song that they could have recorded? This was it?
Yeah.
Like, this album feels like they had 10 and that was it. They recorded the 10 they had and this is the
end. Brian's like runs into the... Guys, I got this last thing.
Yeah.
It's called Whiteman.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a
hot space for me, man.
Yeah, I don't like that one either. Okay, let's move on to a Freddie song, Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy. That's what we need. We need more of that.
Ooh, love. This is Pilar's song.
Yeah. Yeah, this album it's kind of spotty for me, but the highs are so high that I forgive the lows.
Is this a low to you?
No, this isn't a low, but it's also not like one that I
gravitate
to. You know what I mean? Like if this CD is in the car, it seems like I would skip I might skip every other one.
Interesting.
At times.
You think this is a less, you think of the two albums, this is
if you take
number two.
If you take my five favorite songs off this album, I think I like them better than my five favorite songs off the other album. But yet I think the other one might be a better album than this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Which album do you like better?
I think this one.
You do? Maybe because
Prophet song really
hurts you.
Yeah.
It hurts you deeply.
And I had it on cassette, so I never knew where to stop.
Right? You didn't have one of those auto fast forwards that would stop, you'd push it and it would stop the next song?
Let me tell you what kind of setup we had.
Is this at your house growing up?
Yeah, my house growing up.
All right.
We had an 8-track adapter for cassettes.
Oh my God. That sounds horrible.
So I had to listen to Thriller, stuff like this.
Oh my God.
In the 8-track thing.
How bad is the fidelity on that?
Oh.
Zero.
But you have to listen to everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't skip anything.
No. Unless you physically fast forward.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your parents were torturing you.
Well, builds character.
All right. Roger Taylor delivers one song here. How do you think he does? Does he deliver something good?
I think he does. I love RT.
I like him too. He's got more solo material than any other member.
Which makes me wonder if he was just like, can we do this one? No. No, Roger.
And he's just like, fine, then I'll do it myself.
Have some fun in space.
Here's Drowse.
Great bass on this, too.
It's not as good as I'm in Love with My Car, though.
Really? I think it's different.
It's definitely different, but I never gravitated to this the way I do to the
It's less of a rocker, that's for sure. I think, tell me if this makes sense, what I'm going to say. Does this sound like a song that you think would come...
I don't know what you're talking about. That makes no sense.
That would come earlier in their career? Does this feel like
on the
little
first
more
two
naive?
Albums? Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe he headed around for that long.
Yeah, maybe.
And finally they just said, fine.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel as refined or something. I don't know what I'm trying to get at.
You would have thought there would have been like some other inanimate object he could have been in love with for this album. Like his toaster or something. Showerhead.
Cocaine.
Was he the biggest partier of everyone other than Freddie?
I think so. There was I forget whose book I was reading, but Motley Crue ends up hanging out with him. Maybe it was Motley Crue's book. Or maybe it was a producer's book or something. But Motley Crue's there. They go to Roger Taylor's house and they're having dinner. And then somebody sets down a serving tray to each of the people there and they lift the lid and they're like just lines of cocaine on each tray, on each serving tray.
Wow. That's how it was done, huh?
Yeah.
I've never been to a party like that.
Mike Siegel has, I bet, right?
Oh, Siegel, the snowman. He's been to these parties. Who do you think brought the trays?
two coats, Mr. Taylor? Is that no. Yeah, that's so maybe him. I mean, he's made no secret of his, like...
He dabbled.
Sure.
Yeah, he dabbled. He's done things.
In that movie, there was, like, the joke was he just gets around all the time, too. And
yeah.
So...
Lots of ladies. How many times has he been married?
A few.
Eight?
I think, like, three or four. And one of them, he was married for... He had a girlfriend while he was married, but they only stayed married for like tax reasons or something.
Okay. I always like those ones where like they get married in 95 and divorce in 96. Like
literally irreconcilable year. Differences. Yeah.
All right. We're closing out A Day at the Races with Teo Toriarte. Did I say that right? Let Us Cling Together.
Kuruhito yo. Shizikana.
Yoini. Japan. Yeah. Japanese.
Are you going to do the Yoko thing that you always do when you play this song?
No, okay. I only do that for Kiss, Kiss, Kiss. Kiss me, John. I love this song. I love this song so much. Like, I can sing it phonetically in the car.
Can you, though?
I think I am. I believe I am. But do you like this song?
I do.
I love it.
It was a single, actually. With a good old-fashioned Lover Boy as the B-side.
Just 4 seconds shy of 6 minutes, but I love it. Here we go. Why won't it play? Come on, play.
Blending of Roger and Freddie right there is amazing.
It's very good.
Like I can't necessarily tell who's singing sometimes. They harmonize so well over each other.
Yeah, this song goes through many phases then. It has highs and lows and it's really amazing. If you never heard that song, seek it out.
It's Brian.
It's so good.
Do you like it when they did this and then Las Palabras de Amor, where they try to
Yeah, I like it. I like Las Palabras de Amor.
In a different language with which they're not accustomed.
I think what you're trying to get me to do
is sing it. No.
I think some people can do it. You know, they can, and I think Queen's able to do it with the singing in another
language.
All of a sudden, I'm burping.
Because you know, some people will do an entire album. In a different language that they're not.
And I don't know if that always works. you know, out or not. But sometimes it does.
Why couldn't you translate that?
I don't know. Yeah, why wouldn't it be Yankee Rosa?
You did right there.
You speak Spanish. How's he doing?
Awful. I don't know that he's speaking Spanish.
Is it just here's gibberish? Is it gibberish?
Yankee is Yankee in Spanish. It's Yankee. Yankee.
All right.
Right? Because there's no, it is what it is.
Right.
And then just Yankee Rosa. Then all you have to say, Rosa the Yankee.
I don't know.
Is this... saying
Del Calor. What does that mean?
I thought he was saying Puerto Loco.
He does. What? He says the song's called Loco Del Calor.
Right.
Is that going crazy from the heat? I don't know.
Crazy from the color. Yeah. Oh, sorry. You were saying it like color.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. Oh, boy. Yeah. So you're comparing Teo Tarate and...
I guess so.
The words of love to this.
That's life, buddy.
He's a clown and a poet, right?
Oh, my God. He sure is.
Good job. Good job.
He sure is. David Lee Roth.
Well, I'm glad we closed on that one.
Well, no, we're not going to close on that one. Our playout song will be God Save the Queen from A Night at the Opera. When we promote this show now, I can't rope you in on the Twitter because you left the Twitter.
I'll come back. When is this going?
I have no idea. I just have it banked. And when I'm tired of Zoom episodes, I'll throw this out on a Monday or maybe a Thursday.
But can be found at DMGUTIERREZ at DMGUTIERREZ. I also had an appearance on a show called Fade Out with Rob Kelly, where we talk about an actor, director, somebody, their last production. And we talked about Orson Welles' last movie.
Which was?
I forgot the name of the title.
That's okay. That happens.
That's kind of, and then depending on when this airs, I have a feature for Emmys.com. Irregular interviews coming out there sometimes. So.
This was your best appearance.
Thank you.
You weren't, sometimes you're nervous and you trip over your words. And I do it too.
Oh.
But I thought we were both good today.
Well, I am, you know, switching up meds. So
I thought we were both good. I trip over my words a ton and I thought we were on point today.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Pat. It's always good to see you. Actually, see you. And yeah. It's always great to be on the show. I miss Kyle.
I miss Kyle too. I try to tell him that he's got to move back to California.
No, he's moving further into Brooklyn or something.
Well, I think, I don't know how much longer they're going to stay there. But as soon as, look, maybe he went to Brooklyn to get away from this show.
That's a long way to go.
But as soon as he's back in Southern California, he will be back on the show, you know.
He's your John Deacon, the secret sauce.
I need him here. I don't want to cue these songs up. Look, he's more of a co-host than a producer because I do all the post-production and posting it. He never did that. He fades these songs up and cracks wise. I love it.
So he's the best. I miss that kid.
But it's, to not have to fade the songs up and play the songs is freedom for me.
Okay. Sure. So of the two?
Like I said, if I take my five favorite songs off both, I would probably lean towards Day of the Races. But if I'm going to stick with them as an album, I would lean with Night of the Opera.
Right.
But if, wait a minute. Now I'm confused. After saying that I thought we did a good job, now I'm getting the two albums mixed up. If I took
White or Black? Let's do that.
If I took my five favorite songs off each, I would lean towards the Black album, which is A Day at the Races, which is what I said earlier.
Which is confusing because it's Black.
Right? I know. But if we're just going to say I can only own one of these albums, it would probably be Night at the Opera.
Interesting.
Okay. And you?
Take the opposite.
All right. And what's your favorite song on Day of the Races?
Somebody to Love.
Yeah, me too. And what's
I think that might be the perfect Queen song.
It really is a great Queen song, and it's right up there with
Tie Your Mother Down is also just it is such a banger.
Both sides of the album kick off amazing. And what's your least favorite song on the album? White Man.
White Man.
Yeah. We're in agreement.
My least favorite thing.
Yeah, I agree.
No offense.
I agree, and I have a mirror.
No offense, Ben.
All right, we are at, and again, the ASAP Club will have this probably later today because when you record in person like this, it's done. We're done. When I shut the mics off, the episode is locked in. So
you have Elliot walking in and out of the room.
Yep, yep. Yeah. We got, we are at Rock Solid Show. I am at Pat_Francis. You can go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show. And if you've been listening all these years, we're going on 11 years now. Head over to patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast and hop on to the $2 tier and you can win prizes. I got prizes everywhere, all over the place in this room. And I give away stuff almost weekly, which I never thought I would give away stuff weekly, but that's what's happening a lot of times. So good for you and good for me for getting these prizes for free. So David, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Patrick.
And let's play out with a little God Save the Queen. Thank you.